It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Greetings and welcome. Today we're talking with Dr. Christopher Duma. He is the director of Hogue Presbyterian's Brain Tumor Program, and it's just been very enlightening so far, as well as completely interesting and exciting for people in the field or people who might be affected by this. Welcome back, Dr. Duma.
Thank you very much.
Now, for our audience, let's say your doctor tells you today that you have a brain tumor. Are there things you can do in your life to arrest the growth of the tumor, or is this something you just must immediately address in terms of booking a surgery?
Well, you know, certainly there aren't any, panaceas at the health food store that we can, start taking immediately to start slowing down the growth of tumors. We have not seen anything like that at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. clearly healthy living, antioxidants, vitamin E, vitamin C, these things will help patients on their path toward the treatments. But clearly the treatments that we have now are the most effective for these tumors that are within the hospital and medical setting. I would say the most important thing to do is to get second opinions,
mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of university settings that are pretty set in old ways, and they have not ventured out into more modern or more experimental approaches. And clearly, these types of tumors beg for more experimental approach. I tell a patient that we're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at these tumors because,
right.
Every aspect of treatment adds a little to the patient's health and benefit and survival. So, second opinion is very important, especially at a forward-thinking, hospital like Hogue, for example. As far as getting moving on these things, these tumors are relatively fast growing, and I think delay in treatment is a very big mistake.
Okay.
Especially some of these health programs, which put you on the back burner, you'd have a lot of problems with your tumor if you were not proactive with it.
So don't be passive. Don't sit back. Don't sit in denial for a number of weeks or months.
Absolutely.
Go in, get your second opinion, and get started on it.
And get moving. And I think obviously, depending on the size of the tumor, you need to know what it is. So it has to be operated upon. And that's either done by an open craniotomy, where you actually have real brain surgery,
mm-hmm.
or you have a biopsy, which is done through a very small opening in the skull, and is a same-day procedure. You're in and out usually in one day, just to get the diagnosis. And then once we have the diagnosis, we can move on and tailor a therapy precisely for that tumor.
Very interesting. I just received an email now from Jerome in Newport Beach. It's something we're all concerned about, cell phones and cell phone use. Is there any evidence that they can cause brain tumors or other forms of cancer?
Well, I'll tell you that In the European literature in Europe, especially the Netherlands, they have come up with a number of studies that have linked cell phone usage to brain cancer. They've also linked cell phone wearing a cell phone on your belt,
mm-hmm.
to an increased incidence of cancer, say, of your kidney or an organ that is near that cell phone.
Absolutely.
So there is absolutely no question. And just recently, they came up with a survey as to which cell phones have the highest radiation, so you should probably look into that. But I will tell you that there has been no party line from the FDA or from the AMA or from the Surgeon General,
mm-hmm.
that says cell phone usage is dangerous to your brain at this point. I think we should be on the lookout for it, though, and keep your cell phones away from your head as much as possible. Use the speakerphone as much as you can, or your car's speakerphone,
right?
Until we know the actual truth.
And especially young children, please watch the usage.
There's no question. I mean, that's one of the studies that I'm referring to. There's a cell phone use study in the Netherlands that targets children and the pediatric population, starting cell phone use at age 5 to 8
right.
years old, and there is definitely an increased chance of having a cancer-related incident, which they believe is related to the cell phone use.
Thank you so much for answering that. People, do your research, okay? Do yourself a favor.
Exactly.
Jody from Newport just emailed us as well, and she wants to know, on a little bit different subject, how Michael J. Fox is doing managing his Parkinson's, and wonders about the quality of his day-to-day life.
Yeah. One of my subspecialties is also the treatment, the surgical management of Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this has come a very long way since about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What we do now is we implant stimulators into the brain. They look like pacemakers. They look mm-hmm. like a heart pacemaker, but instead of the wire going to the heart, the wire goes into the brain. And it's really made a huge difference for the treatment of Parkinson's disease. The tremor, we can stop tremor. The abnormal movements that Michael J. Fox has, those are called dyskinesias.
Mm-hmm.
Those can essentially disappear with the stimulation.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
And the beauty of the stimulation is that we can modulate it. We can, just with a little telemetric device over the pacemaker, we can actually adjust the voltage and the pulse width of these stimulations, and we can tailor the therapy to the individual Parkinson's patient.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'll be very honest with you. This is another patient that is in the public eye that has not received therapies that, you know, he certainly could benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
He has not had an implant of the stimulators yet.
Along with the implant, how about medication?
Medication's come a long way, and of course, everybody's all excited about the future of stem cells.
Mm-hmm,
In the field of brain tumors, we're looking at stem cells as well. And we have, so far, had no patients in the United States implanted with stem cells for Parkinson's disease. But they've been doing it in foreign countries like China,
mm-hmm.
And they're about to do a lot in South America. But until we get real FDA approval to do this in a very well-controlled study, I don't think I'd venture out into any of these other countries because they're really not well-controlled studies.
So not yet, but keep an eye on it.
Again, within the next year or year and a half, look out for that.
Incredible. Now, what are some of the early warning signs of Parkinson's disease?
The most classic early warning sign is where one side of your body in particular starts either shaking, having a tremor, or is beginning to get stiff,
mm-hmm.
rigid. You usually see it in your 50s or 60s, but there is a young-onset Parkinson's population as well. And those would be your cardinal signs, where you have some stiffness, rigidity, or the beginnings of a tremor.
And it's at that point, and not later on, just dismissing it as something weird, that's when you go in.
Right. Well, usually patients will go to their family doctors, who will then refer them to a movement disorder specialist in neurology.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll start a medication therapy and a medical regimen where you're taking, you know, very very effective medicines. But as time goes on, the medicines will wear off in terms of their efficacy.
And that point, maybe you consider an implant.
That's when we start, you know, considering implants.
Okay, fantastic. You've made it so clear, Doctor, and the stuff we're talking about is really so much more complex than just what we're touching on today, but you've made it really easy to understand and actually so exciting for anybody, because we all have people that these things touch. We all have a member of a family or a coworker or just someone
true.
We know that is suffering, and maybe needlessly so.
That's right.
I think we have time for one last question. Maybe there's something you want to address before we have to...
Well, I mean, I think the main issues here are looking for, you know, better and better therapies as we move on in the 21st century here. And what we're doing, particularly at Hoge, is exactly that for both Parkinson's disease and for brain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, just to reiterate, for brain tumors, it's the use of immunotherapy, white blood cell therapy, therapies that are targeted to our immune systems to upgrade them so that we can actually train our own bodies to fight the brain tumor itself.
You're giving us so much hope for the future. We want to thank you so much for being on the program, Dr. Duma.
It is my pleasure.
I know you got to head into surgery. We also thank you for the work you do coaching soccer, just as important. Today we've been talking to Dr. Christopher Duma. He's the director of Hoag Presbyterian's Brain Tumor Program. It's just been very enlightening, exciting, as well as thoroughly interesting. Cranial neurosurgery, deep brain stimulation, gene therapy, lots of exciting things happening, as well as important advances in treating brain tumors. You can always listen to this podcast at hoaghospital.org 24 hours a day on demand in case you missed something or just want to hear it again. Thank you so much for listening. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and please stay tuned. There's much more to come.